Rose, and happy Halloween.
Welcome back to Rose and Reed's podcast. I'm Haley.
I'm Sophia.
Here we are. We're talking about Verity this week.
Verity.
Oh my God. We chose this book because it's so freaking spooky.
It is a little spooky. It's just kind of creepy.
It's such a good thriller. It just kept you going from the moment of that first sentence.
Oh my gosh. I know.
I can't wait to dive into this.
So cheers.
Cheers. We've got our rosé. What is this one? Oh, it is a cupcake, which I don't know if you all have heard of that brand. It's I love their Chardonnay. So when I went to pick it out.
Lighthearted. It's 80 calories.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's good.
Today. Is it good?
I like it.
Let me see.
Yeah. It's real smooth. So we've got our rosé.
Oh, perfect.
Book.
Yeah, I was ready for a drink.
Ooh. Setting up our equipment took a little bit.
Yes. Still not pros at that. We'll get there.
We just like talking about books. We don't want to set up everything.
Yeah. So. Anyways, Verity.
Colleen Hoover.
Okay, yes.
So this is actually her first thriller novel.
Yeah.
Compared to her other ones, she's got a ton of other books, if you all don't even know yet. A lot of romance.
Yeah, she's normally a romance writer. Like a ton of romance novels. Mm-hmm. And they've all got something like something's wrong with the main lady, the protagonist, you know? Yeah,
it's a little trigger warnings.
Yes. I wish she would put trigger warnings in her books,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, that's what TikTok and everything else is for now, because they can just be like, trigger warnings on this book.
Well, that's
like,
what's got TikTok all up in a rage, is because it's like, oh, I didn't know that this was about, you know, there was children dying in her books. I wish I would have read that somewhere before I jumped in. I'm like, well,
do your research.
Yeah. You can find anything you need to know on the internet nowadays.
I know. But what I think really put Colleen Hoover on the map compared to, because she has so many other books, is this book.
I think so too.
When this book came out, it blew up, and then everybody started reading her other books.
Yeah, this one's the best in my like opinion. It's my favorite.
100%.
So every good.
And you know what, it's such a good, if you guys haven't bought or thought about Christmas gifts yet, I know it's a little early, but this is a perfect gift for family members. It really is.
I actually gave it to my best friend for her birthday.
Yeah. And I gave it to our best friend, Maddie. For her birthday 1 year. And then my mom gave it to my grandma. Like, it's kind of a good little stuffer gift.
It's really good. Like, if you haven't read anything in a while, it's a good one to jump into just because it's an easy read. It keeps you on your toes. You fly through it. I mean, I read this for the first time last year, and I was like, well, I got to reread it for this one.
Yeah.
Read it in a day.
Same.
And it was still so good. I loved it. I enjoyed it.
I read it on our vacation.
Verity
and I was,
is
like,
so fucked up.
Flew through it.
Okay.
Let's dive into it because it is really messed up. We are actually going to be talking about kind of some hard things in this book.
Yeah, so trigger warning.
Trigger warning. It is about two children dying, and
how a fucked up mom,
and how she basically kills one.
Yeah.
So there are,
or did she?
Yeah. So it is. It leaves you with a twist at the end. So the characters in this. So we've got Loen.
It's our main protagonist.
I thought different name.
Loen.
Have you ever heard this name?
Nope, but I like it.
I like it.
I mean,
too.
I've never heard of Verity either, but I love both names.
I know, and Verity gives you a creepy kind of vibe.
I like it,
and I think that's why she chose that.
Yeah, it was good.
And then Jeremy is the husband.
It's always weird for me to read it because Jeremy's the name of my husband, and so I'm over here just like, okay, Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah.
Good
what
for
are
you
doing now? And then we've got Verity, who is a little crazy. And then we've got the children. So we've got two twins and a little boy.
Harper. And is it Chastain or Chastain?
I was saying Chastain the whole time, but
that
I
sounds
mean,
better
probably
than Chastain. So it's probably Chastain.
Chastain.
Yeah, because in the book, she's like, I'm going to give you the better name, Chastain.
Yeah, Chastain.
Yes.
Which I love Harper, too. I thought that was one of my
Harper.
Baby names when I was pregnant. It was Harper. And then Crew, which is super cute, is a 5-year-old little boy.
Oh, cute. Oh, I love Crew.
Yeah. So that's about it. She got Loen's mom. She mentions throughout. She dies.
Another bad mom.
Another bad mom, kind of in the beginning too. So,
yep.
So it starts out, which
oh man, I completely forgot.
Pick up this book and read the very first sentence.
You're gonna be like, what the what?
It literally starts off. I hear the crack of his skull before the splattering of blood reaches me. What? She literally is standing in New York City on the sidewalk about to cross the street, and a guy crosses the street 2 seconds early and gets hit by a bus and his skull crashes underneath her. Ugh. Like, you hear the pop of it. She describes it.
She gets blood on all over her shirt.
It splatters on her, and you're already reading this going, whoa.
Yeah.
And what I think is creepy is that the guy, Jeremy, which you don't know at first, he goes, oh my God, come with me, because she's in kind of a shock from seeing
obviously.
That.
She just witnessed murder.
Murder. Blood death. Is on me.
I guess it was. Is it
not,
murder?
No, it's not murder. It's an accidental death. Yeah, accidental death. He just stepped in front of the bus too early. But this guy grabs her by the arm and goes, come with me. And she's like, okay, I'm in such shock.
Like, sure, I'll follow you anywhere. I don't know what I'm doing.
Goes into the coffee shop, goes into the bathroom, and he locks the door.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're in New York City. You're going to follow this man
not the
into
best
the bathroom.
Choice.
No. And he gives her his shirt.
Right. Yep.
Off his back. Yep. And
because she's got blood on hers.
Yeah. And so
she's over here just like in a state of shock. Like, I don't know what
she's
to
in
do.
Shock, and she's undressing in front of this guy. I just thought it was a little bizarre.
I mean, I don't think it would ever happen in real life, especially in New York City. Maybe you meet like the love of your life like that. But I think it's very crazy. I mean, as Verity calls them, they're chronics. So
chronics,
which is like people who have bad things happen to them chronically all the time.
And that's what he says to her in the bathroom.
It's like, have you ever heard the term chronics? I think my wife made it up. Oh, I think he says that later, but still.
No, he says it in the bathroom.
He does say it in the bathroom?
He says chronics.
I'm already
starting
to forget.
Yeah. And it's he says it's prone to chronic tragedy.
Chronic tragedy.
So you're already,
that's a better way to describe
it. You have two things that already happened. You're listening to this man talk, and he's talking about death and chronics, and she's explaining her mom, like, they're in this bathroom and talking about really dark things.
It's very morbid.
Very. And then you have a death already, so you already have like a couple things happening.
It's got a good hook for sure.
It does.
It pulls you in right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she talks about how this is the first time she's left her apartment since her mom died.
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
So now you have her mom's death too. And so
a lot of death in this.
Tons. Right from the start. Literally.
Everybody's dying left and right.
It's nuts.
I don't know why I'm laughing about that. It's terrible.
Well, because
I'm a little morbid.
Yeah.
Because it's Halloween.
I love how we both just did a ghost noise.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, and then this is kind of weird. So she goes. So she's on the way to a meeting.
Right.
And it just happens to be with the guy that pulls her into the bathroom.
Right.
And they're sitting in this meeting. She is a writer, Lowen. Main character. She's sitting there going, I don't know what this meeting is about. And then Jeremy walks in with the publisher.
Yes.
And they're going over.
She has to sign an NDA before they'll say anything to her.
That's what she does. And Verity, Jeremy's wife, is a very successful thriller
suspense
novelist. And she has been in an accident and is unable to finish the last three series, her books in her series.
Right. Yeah. She has six books out and they need her to finish the three books because, you know, they got to get their money out of it. Of
that
course.
Was her contract. So yep. They have three books. And so they're bringing in a co-writer, which happens to be Lowen.
Mm-hmm.
She does not have any books that are successful. She does write in that genre.
Right.
Like,
she's got one book that's out there that people liked, but it wasn't like, you know.
It wasn't very successful.
It wasn't big, no.
No. And so she's like, all right.
But Jeremy gets her, he says that Verity was a big fan of her work. He read that book, or she read that book that she put out, and she said that Lowen would be the next big thing.
Yes.
And so that's how Jeremy convinces Lowen to do this. Because at first, Lowen's like, no, I'm not
she
about
goes,
this.
I don't want to do this. I don't like the spotlight.
She's an introvert, for
I don't want to do book readings. I don't want to do all this stuff. And so she kind of renegotiates the contract to kind of get all that out of
He tells her to ask for more money. Ask for $500,000. They're lowballing you. I loved that part.
Well, I love that because he's being honest.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly what Verity's making. And they don't need any more money, basically, is what he's saying. And so he goes, after the meeting, she signs the contract, and he goes, you're going to have to come to the house and get all of her notes. It's going to take you a while.
Yeah, so why don't you just come stay with me, this random person in Vermont?
She goes, okay. I just feel like she's so stupid.
I mean, she also doesn't really have a lot of options right now because, like, after her mom died, she bought this apartment, or she moved into this apartment so her mom could have a nice death, I guess. Kind of selfish, but whatever. and
put her through some debt.
Yeah, she has no money. She has
no money. She's getting evicted from her apartment.
Her mom said that she, like, Lowen would have her money after she dies, but then on her deathbed, her mother goes, oh, by the way, I'm broke.
Yeah, that's right. So she's getting evicted, and so she's like, well, shit, I guess if I can go stay at this guy's house for at least a couple days.
Right.
Until my apartment.
Until she gets her advance. Yes. God, I can't talk today. I don't know what it is. Oh,
you're good. Ugh. And so she gets the advance. And she doesn't get the advance. She's waiting for the advance. And she goes to the guy's house, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
And she arrives there. And it's just a spooky house from the start. The way she describes it is dark and eerie.
It's got this long drive. The house itself is dark rock with like a vine that's taking over half the house that looks like it's infesting it.
She walks in, there's the dark cherry wood everywhere.
I'm seeing like the Casper house in my head for some reason. Yeah, do you remember that house?
Yeah, I do. And we just watched that movie. That's so funny. Me and the girls. But so it's just dark and spooky and kind of ominous. Like, I mean, she wants it to be set up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling me to talk into my mic. Not that I'm not loud enough already.
Right.
So anyways, so she goes into the house and she steps into the office and Jeremy just basically lets her do her thing.
Yep.
He's like, you need to just go through all of this. And there's boxes and boxes.
He gives her the master room. It's the only one on the bottom floor. And then she goes into the office. Beautiful office. Florida ceiling, windows, and you know, big desk that wraps around with two computers and a big, nice couch that she can lounge on. She's like, oh, wow, you know, maybe I can actually write something good in here because of all of the stuff that I have to work with.
This is the nicest chair my ass has ever sat in.
Yes. But then she finds out very quickly that Verity actually lives at the house still. They're all living upstairs and Verity's basically like comatose, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not comatose, but like,
yeah, she can't do it. Vegetable state.
Vegetative
state.
I guess it's not called vegetable status.
No. Vegetative state.
Vegetative state.
She's upstairs. She has a full-time nurse that helps her.
Mm-hmm.
April. Jeremy does the night shift.
Right.
And they are upstairs in the guest bedroom and then Crew's room.
Yes.
Is all on the same little
hallway. They're all upstairs. She's downstairs.
And she gets there and she goes, is there a lock on the door?
Mm-hmm.
Like my door, the master bedroom. And you're like, that's weird. And you don't really hear anything else about it. He does buy her a lock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really nice to put on there. And so that's kind of weird. And then when she also arrives into the master bedroom, she sees bite marks on the
headboard.
And she's like,
she's like, oh, wow, that's intimate.
Intimate. And then she's rummaging through her office and she finds a manuscript, an autobiography called So Be It.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Be It.
Comes in really fast in the book. And so she finds this.
And she starts reading to get a, you know, into Verity's head to see what she was like so she can write these novels of hers.
Yeah, and it starts off, she's saying that this is a deep, sad story and I don't know if you want to read it. It's kind of like pointing you not to read it, but then you're like, well, I'd have to read this.
Well, she was like, you know, I hate how autobiographies always like glam up people. They want people to think that
their life is amazing
or that they're good. But I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. It is what it is, so be it.
Yeah.
So read on if you must.
And I think in a little snippet into the autobiography, she starts off with their first milestone of how she met Jeremy. And it's at a party. She's got this red dress that she stole, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just,
her first look into Verity's mind is that she would steal a dress.
I feel like she chose that red dress as a symbol for death, too.
Oh, maybe. Look at you, symbolism.
I did. I thought that immediately. I was like, there's been so much death already. And then here comes this blood red.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first
time. It's also
like
sinful, you know, when you wear a red dress, red lipstick, people are like, ooh,
yeah,
sinful, naughty.
Exactly. And so right from the start, she's obsessed with Jeremy and she's obsessed about like
pleasing Jeremy.
Him. Yeah. And having this crazy sex with him all the time.
That's all she talks about in her autobiography for a little while.
And even Loen like skips through some chapters and is like, okay, like this is too much.
But she realizes really quick that this lady's got something up. She like is just, she's doing everything she can to please Jeremy and be there for him. And it's just, she knows something's up.
Something's up. And
she's
so
like, this is weird.
She takes a break from going through the notes and stuff, and she's outside, just outside on the porch, and she's watching Jeremy and his son Crew take apart this dock. Mm-hmm. And she's just outside, and she sees Crew waving to her. However, it's not to her.
Nope.
It's right above her to the window where Verity stays, and she sees the curtain move. And that's the first little snippet of creepiness.
Yeah, that's when she starts to be a little bit more suspicious of Verity.
She's like,
wait a second. Isn't this lady supposed to be, like, not able to move by herself?
And she thinks she's upstairs April's not waving. Up there.
So what's going on here?
So it's weird. So that's the first I put like on my little notes here. First creepy.
It is creepy. It is. I mean, can you imagine being in a house? People you don't know. There's a lady who can't move. But then the child, her child, is like interacting with her a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Always lays in bed with his mom.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I don't know if I would have done that as a child if my mom was like not moving.
He's five, so I don't think he knows. But. Is she not moving?
See? Right. That's why I'm
so,
like.
Yeah. So that's kind of the thing. And now Jeremy convinces her to stay for another like 2 weeks after this too. There's little conversations between them. And he's like, you just need to stay. Like, you need more time to work on this.
Right.
And
she's like, I would rather you get everything you need than go back to New York and be unprepared. Because it's a big series. He wants Verity's work to be finished correctly, which is, you know, that's.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And that's a good husband right there. Yeah. Jeremy's a good guy. Let's mention that. In the book, I think Jeremy is a very good guy.
He's fine. And
good daddy.
He gets to the house and she realizes he's normal. Mm-hmm. And they talk and they have good conversations and she gets all her work done. I mean, I think it's fine.
Yeah, she's starting to develop a little crush on Jeremy though.
Yeah.
For sure.
She is. She definitely says like, oh, I'm attracted to him and I shouldn't be. This is weird. Like, she understands that it's weird. So there is some tension though, but even between them, I think.
Mm-hmm. Like, but she won't make touches. The first move. She's like, no, he's married, even though his wife can't do anything.
Yeah. She's like, no,
he's married, so we're not going to go mm-hmm. that route.
So in the manuscript, she goes back. So I have my notes going kind of back and forth to the manuscript. So the manuscript, she's starting to read the chapters again. And it's when she gets pregnant and also engaged. So she in the manuscript. It's the same night. So she gets engaged basically while they're having sex. And she is upset a couple days later when she finds out she's pregnant the same day she got engaged, she finds out they're twins. The twins took that moment.
The night we got engaged became the night we got pregnant. So it's like.
They stole that from me.
The way she talks in her manuscript is just very like. It's possessive of Jeremy.
Very possessive.
Selfish. Very selfish. Yes, she only thinks of herself and Jeremy.
It's horrible. And so you're just what the hell? And throughout that chapter.
She's not happy with her pregnancy.
She takes pills, sleeping pills, like kind of overdoes mm-hmm, it.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't eat. She basically wants an abortion.
Yeah, she does the wire hanger thing.
And then she takes. This was so hard to
read.
This
was the trigger for me because I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Is that she takes a wire hanger and tries to abort at least one of the children.
Or both. She's trying to get rid of both. She feels like, the way Jeremy's talking about the babies, as any parent would, is that they are his whole world now.
He's so excited.
Any normal person would be like, oh my gosh, they mean more to me than you. Yes, it's a different kind of love, but yes, I would do anything for them.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I just want you, Jeremy. I want you to pay attention to me like you did before with all the unconsuming love that you have for me, not for these children.
Yeah. I remember when I first read that, I was
Well, and then it also makes Loen really sick to her stomach. Like, there's parts where she's throwing up after it and she's like, holy shit, this person is nuts.
Well, because of what she did. I mean, they don't say this, but one of the twins is born with a scar on her face. And the doctor says, you know, it's not uncommon for twins in the utero to like scratch each other or fibrous tissue to do something. But like Jeremy was actually pretty suspicious of it whenever he came out. He kept asking questions. Mm-hmm. And then Lowen, whenever she read that chapter, she went looking for pictures of the twins. And sure enough, there's the scar on Chastine's face.
And it's from The Wire. It's
that's what it's from.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think it's from.
Well, and then so we're out of the manuscript. We're back to just her being in the house and she's looking at the pictures. She's asking questions. And then she goes, Crew cuts his chin on a little knife. And
in Verity's room.
In Verity's room. And so she's in there and she's like, oh my God. And Jeremy rushes in and he's like, okay, good. You don't need stitches. And Lowen's like, I saw a knife in there. Mm-hmm. And he goes, can you go get it? And she goes, okay. So she's in the room and she's looking for the knife and it's gone.
The knife is literally not on the ground. And she's like, I saw this knife. I'm not crazy.
Yeah. And he's like, okay. And they just kind of move
kind
about.
Kind of brush it off a little bit.
They brush it off. They're like, well,
she's
all
like,
right,
I might have been mistaken, but
I don't
that's
think
weird.
So.
Yeah.
And then during the nighttime, she hears, like, maybe it's either that night or a couple days later, whatever. She hears footsteps in the hallway. Mm-hmm. She hears them going up and down the steps, like, very quietly. Like, it's not, she blatantly says, like, they're footsteps.
Yeah. She's getting very suspicious at this point.
She's creeped out.
She's creeping herself out reading this autobiography of a woman that she doesn't know, really, that mm-hmm. is supposed to be an invalid in bed. But she thinks that she's not. Yeah. She thinks she's faking it, I think. I mean, I don't know if she actually says it at this point, but, like, that's the vibe you're getting.
It is.
Is that, oh, my God, is she faking it? Is she actually, because in her autobiography, she's so fucked up. I mean, for lack of better words.
No, she is.
She's just fucked up in the head.
It is.
So I wouldn't put it past Verity for faking her illness.
Well, you're just like, why would she fake it? I don't know. The whole time you're like, oh my God, is she or is Lowen just crazy and freaked out?
Right.
So that's kind of the vibe you're getting the whole time.
Yep.
And then
the whole time.
So then back to the manuscript, she keeps reading because she's like kind of hooked. She doesn't want to read it, but she does. And Verity is at a point where the twins are born mm-hmm. and she is basically a shitty mother.
She's such a shitty mom.
Leaves them in the other room to cry all day. And I don't think takes care of them one bit.
No, Jeremy goes to work. She unplugs the baby monitor and lays down, sleeps all day. And then about 2 hours before Jeremy gets home, she finally goes and takes care of her children, settles them down,
feeds
them, bathes them. And since they're finally getting attention, they're all calm when Jeremy gets home.
Yeah.
It's the perfect plan.
It's
terrible.
Well, and then that night.
If you've ever been a mom, like, I don't know that innate, like, trigger if you hear a baby crying, like
you go
you go to it. I hate that. I mean, like, I tried the crying out method. I couldn't do it,
which is fine. Okay, yeah, you do that for 15 minutes. You don't do it for hours.
7 hours.
Yeah,
no.
So I mean, that's insane. And then mm-hmm. that night, she unplugs the baby monitor, and Verity goes into she really likes Chastine better than Harper. And
after the dream she has.
Uh-huh. And she goes in because she thinks that Harper one day will kill. I can hear you.
Do that. Okay. It's just not green.
Oh.
Oh. Hello.
Sorry, our mics were doing something weird, so we just
little
wanted to make sure.
Little technical issue. Oh, whoopsies.
That's okay. So anyway, so Verity goes in to the bedroom and she thinks that Harper is somehow going to kill Chastine sometime in their life. Like, I don't know. She has a weird dream and she sticks her two fingers in the baby's mouth, in Harper's mouth, and basically tries to kill her. She makes her stop breathing. Tries to choke her. And then I think Jeremy comes in mm-hmm. or something and it stops her and the baby starts throwing up.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I don't know what happened.
What happened?
I was trying to make her calm down. Now she's throwing up.
Yeah. And you're just like, holy shit, she just tried to kill her baby.
Yep. An infant.
It was horrible. So
she likes Chastine. She does not like Harper.
Yeah.
And Harper is the one who they later discover has Asperger's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she gets bored of the manuscript shortly after this because all it is their sex life. And she's like, okay, I get it.
She doesn't want to read how fucked up Verity is.
Yeah.
But
And so
she understands why Verity's novels are so good, how she's able to, because Verity's novels are written from the villain's point of view.
Yes, from the antagonist's point of view. Mm-hmm. And so she goes, I get it now. Mm-hmm. Like, you are really messed up in the head. So of course your books are going to be great.
Yeah.
And so she's just back looking through research. 2 weeks, I think, has passed by now. And like, she's gaining lots of information. She has an outline done. And her and Jeremy are really starting to get closer. She's out on the couch watching TV, taking a break. And he comes down from the steps, from upstairs. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, like, I'll watch a show with you and popcorn and stuff.
Right.
And they have a little moment. And they kiss. And they...
Is that when she tells him that it's almost her birthday? And he goes and bakes her a cake. What is the secret ingredient to a really moist cake?
Pudding. Yeah. So they have like a cute little moment. He bakes her a cake and then they start to kiss and they start to fool around. And this is, I think, is important because he takes off her shirt and they are fooling around and she's laying on the couch. He's on top of her. And the way the book is that the stairs are like right by the couch.
You can see the stairs from the couch. Yeah.
And
from the living room.
She's laying down and she looks over because she kind of feels something and it's someone staring.
Verity is staring at her. At the top of the steps, like with this terrified or pissed off face, and she clenches her fist and then runs off.
Like, what the fuck?
Oh my God, I know.
I'm sorry. I put like WTF on there because I'm sorry, but how
I love that part.
Out. It gives me goosebumps even just thinking about somebody standing there.
The wife.
Who cares if it's the wife? It is somebody that's supposed to be in a vegetative state. Well, this is what Bowen says. Your wife,
fucking Jeremy. She was at the fucking top of the steps.
So she freaks out and he's going, your wife. She's saying, your wife. And he just thinks like, oh, you don't want to be like the other woman, basically. Right,
like you're freaking out because of that reason.
Yeah, she's like, no, could care less about that.
No, she was literally right there.
Right there looking at me. And she's like, she can't move, Loen. And he gets really pissed off.
Yeah. And thinks she's a little crazy.
Uh-huh. And she's like, I'm not crazy now. Like, she goes, she's still kind of doubting herself, I think, at this point. She's like, well, maybe I didn't see her. But the whole time she's like, no. Nope, I'm creeped out. I'm so creeped out.
Yeah.
And so Jeremy wants, he says, I'll put a lock on the door. On
Verity's door.
On the Verity's door.
Right.
And on the outside, right?
Well, he puts a lock on the outside of her door. I don't know if this was before or after they make out, whenever Loen sleepwalks and goes and actually finds herself waking up in Verity's bed. I think this is before they make out. But that's why she wanted the lock on her door is because she sleepwalks and she tells Jeremy the reason why her and her mom weren't super close is because she had like an incident when she was
younger.
Yeah, where she was sleepwalking and stood on a railing for an hour, didn't move, and then jumped off and broke her wrist.
Yeah.
And her mother was basically scared of her from then on out. Again, not the best mom.
No.
No.
I mean,
She's got something.
She
going
says
on.
She was in therapy for it
right.
her whole life. And she also mentions that Crew should probably be in therapy as well.
Yeah. She said that was the best thing that ever happened to her.
Yeah.
So therapy's good.
Therapy is a good thing. And her mentioning it to him like really sparks Jeremy too to be like, oh, maybe I should put him back in because I took him out.
Yeah.
Of it.
He asked her. He's like, do you think Crew should be in therapy? And her, yes.
Absolutely.
100%.
So
after all the fucked up things his kids have to see, 1000%.
I know. And so this is also a funny part in the book that I thought. So after she sees her on the steps and stuff. Oh, God. And I forget what happens. Oh, she's downstairs. Verity is like in a good little state today and she's watching TV.
Oh, yeah.
And Loen has to go get something on the TV or turns off the remote or something. Well, it mutes.
Yeah, the TV was on and then she goes to the kitchen and then she realizes, oh, wait, I can't hear the TV anymore. She goes in there
and it's muted.
And it's muted. And she goes, the TVs don't just fucking mute, Verity.
And so
I know you're in there.
Down in front of Verity and goes, you're a fucking cunt.
I
thought that was so funny. Looks right at her and says that.
You're a fucking cunt. TVs don't just mute Verity. And then Verity pisses herself.
Yeah, because as just a way to get back at her.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think at that moment, mm-hmm. she knows that she's awake. She's like, yeah. You heard me.
You know what's going on. You know what's going on. And then she starts to doubt herself again. She's like, okay, maybe she's in there, but she's, I don't know.
Well, so anyways, so she keeps going.
It's back and forth, back and forth. She can't like decide if she believes herself enough that Verity is awake, because like she doesn't trust herself because of the sleepwalking thing.
Yes.
So that's why.
And then so shortly after this, I think it's that night, she and Jeremy have sex in the master bedroom downstairs, mm-hmm. and there is a lock on the door. And in the morning, Jeremy's like, or like later that evening, whatever, after
it's like
they do it,
really early in the morning.
Yeah, it's he like has 3
to be back. Yeah, he wants to be back in his room before crew wakes up.
And he goes, "The door's locked from the outside."
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell's locking the door from the outside?
Verity.
So
yeah, she goes, I think it might be Verity,
and
Jeremy.
And he's like,
and you need to be prepared that she would take crew and leave.
And he breaks the window.
He freaks out
because he's like, wait, is that true? Like, mm-hmm. She may take crew. So he breaks the window, goes out around the house, and goes upstairs, and she's laying in bed. So mm-hmm. she's in there, and he's like, he's pissed because he's like, this is, you're he's freaking
pissed,
me out.
Yeah, he's pissed that Lowen's like, thinks that she's awake. And so she finally decides to finish the manuscript. She's like, I want to figure out what happened to these kids, because now I have a feeling she did something.
Yeah. And
Chastine's was actually an accident.
Chastine had a bit bad peanut allergy and mm-hmm. was at a friend's house. And the girls in the middle of the night snuck down and got candy, whatever, food, and it had peanuts in it.
Oh, so died. Terrifying.
It was very sad. Very terrifying to know that kids actually have these really bad allergies.
I had a friend who had that bad of allergies. Like, we all, like, her mom would do the same thing. Would come over and be like, you can't let them have anything. Don't let them go in here without you.
Yeah.
Because you never know what has it in.
Anything. Nope. And it was so sad in the book. And so you realize that.
But then Verity, of course, blames her sister. She's like, I know Harper did it.
And Harper's like, I loved my sister. And yeah, she has Asperger's, but like, she loves her sister.
Yeah,
and
of course.
She's
a child.
Yeah, she's a child. They were 8. Yeah. So it's bizarre. Mm-hmm. And so then you find out a chapter later in the manuscript that she talks about Harper's death. And Jeremy goes out to the store to get some groceries, and he's like, take the kids out to
the lake. They have a lake behind their house.
And go just hang out.
Go play with your children.
Yeah. And she's been working a lot, and he's like, go play with them. And
go
she's
play
like,
with your children.
Okay. So she goes out, and crew goes, I want to get in the boat or something. And she's like, okay, let's all get in the boat. Harper gets in the front, then it's crew, and then it's Verity in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's got her plan.
She's got a plan.
Her evil plan.
She, from the start, goes, yeah, I'm going to tip this boat, basically. And right before she tips it, she looks at, or she whispers in Crew's ear.
Crew, hold your breath.
Crew, hold your breath.
And then she
tips it.
Tips it. She gets Crew out.
And she, in her head, is like, I'm not going back for Harper.
Yeah,
she
Crew's
fucking
like,
leaves her
mommy,
daughter.
Mommy, go get Harper.
And she's
and
like,
and then she realizes in the autobiography, she's like, oh, I guess I should make it seem like I was trying. I was a frantic mother. So she goes out there and she starts yelling and she's getting cold.
So she kind of goes back and like, she's not really helping.
No, she tells Crew to call Daddy and then call the police, or call Daddy. Daddy will call the police, something like that.
Yeah. And so
make it seem like she, you know,
tried to save her daughter.
She's sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. It was a horrible scene. And then Jeremy's rushing back and finds her daughter tangled up in a net in the lake. And it was just horrible.
Ugh.
And so she's now reading this manuscript and she's like, holy shit. She murdered her own daughter. And she's just like, this is insane. And so the next day, they're in the kitchen and she wants to ask Crew mm-hmm. a question. And she's like, has your mom ever talked to you? I forget what she even asked.
She says something and then Crew's like, mommy told me I'm not supposed to talk to you about stuff like
and
that.
And she goes, what do you mean? Like, she's talking to you
and
right
she's
now?
She's like, Crew, does your mommy talk to you? And then Crew gets really quiet. And then Crew, like, he cuts the inside of his mouth.
He's licking on a peanut butter, like a knife. And she's like, you're not supposed to lick the peanut in the knife. And they're kind of laughing about it. Mm-hmm. And then he bites on it to stop her basically from talking.
Because he's a traumatized little boy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how else to do it.
I know. And he bites it. And mm-hmm. she's like, what the fuck did I just look like witness is a kid just bit down on a knife. Mm-hmm. And his mouth starts bleeding. Jeremy has to take him to the hospital. He has stitches inside his mouth.
Oh, God, ouch.
That yeah, so bad. Hurt really, really bad. And she's just like, this kid is a little messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Verity's been talking to this kid.
Obviously.
So she's like, and she goes, fuck this.
I'm out.
So they're in the hospital. She's by herself in this house. And she goes, fuck this. I am so creeped out. I am going to get that baby monitor, which is in the basement.
That's right. She gets the baby monitor and she puts it in Verity's room.
She puts it in Verity's room, which noted is that when she goes down to the basement, things aren't where they were.
Right. Things are kind of moved around.
Moved around.
Like somebody was looking for something.
Something was, yeah. And so she's like.
Even though Jeremy literally said when they went out down there the first time to get Cruz turtle thing, something like insignificant, that they never go down there.
Yeah. And she notices when she goes down there. That it's all moved around.
Oh, yeah.
And so she finds the baby monitor, though. She knows where it was because she saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And goes into Verity's room. She's asleep. And she puts it up and on the dresser. And mm-hmm. Verity doesn't know because she's asleep, quote unquote. And sets the monitor up. And she goes back down to the office, like locks the door. She's freaked out. And she's just watching the monitor.
Yeah, she goes and... I don't think she reads anymore. Did she? Was there?
She reads and watches the monitor at the same time. So she, right. She goes, I.
Oh, she reads about like the last chapter.
The
like,
last chapter.
Jeremy knows that she. Oh, she. He asks her, why did you tell Crew to hold your breath? Hold his breath.
Yeah.
Like so it doesn't make any sense.
In the manuscript, they're talking about it at night. Jeremy and Verity are sitting there after their daughter just died.
Yep.
And goes. Why this doesn't make any sense. Back it up. And she's telling him what happened. And then he goes, none of that makes sense. Why did you tell Crew to hold his breath?
Right. And she's like, oh crap. Well, I just miscalculated. He's not going to fall more in love with me now that the girls are gone. I might as well just go drive my car into a tree.
That end.
Yeah.
That's literally how the manuscript ends. It says, maybe I'll just drive my car into a tree. The end. And she's like, holy God, I'm sorry. Shit. Mm. This lady is crazy. So basically she admitted to killing Harper
to murder.
And then she's going to go drive herself into a tree. And that's how she ended up in the vegetative state that she's in a coma, whatever she is.
Yep.
And so
she a faker.
So Jeremy comes back. He puts Crew to bed because he's knocked out some pain meds and stitches in his mouth. Comes downstairs and they're talking and she had just finished the manuscript and is flipping out. She's like, Jeremy, you need to read this.
Well, something happens. She was going to leave or no, doesn't she like walk away from the computer? She comes back and then she sees Verity digging around in the ground. And that's when she's like, what the fuck? She's alive. Like, I just saw it on the monitor. Read this.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's on the floor.
She's alive. Of course she's alive. She's able to use her.
Yeah. She's waking up and she sees, that's right. She looks at the monitor and she sees Verity on the ground.
Right.
Rummaging through shit. And you're going, this lady is not supposed to even move a muscle.
Right.
And she's on the floor rummaging around.
So she gives Jeremy the manuscript and he says, where did you find this?
Yeah. That's the first thing he said. Where did you find this?
Where did you find this?
And at the time, you don't really notice that.
Nope.
So he goes, locks himself in the room, bathroom, wherever, and
starts reading it. Or at least that's what we think he's doing.
Yeah. Because it's not very long.
It's not. Yeah. She's like, oh, well, it didn't. She hears some like crashing and then she finally hears him like stomp down to Verity's room and she goes, well, he couldn't have read the whole thing.
Maybe he skimmed. Maybe
he just skimmed it. Well, and that's what she told him to do. At least read the last two chapters.
Yeah. So she's like, it doesn't make sense. He goes to Loen and I don't even think he goes to Loen.
No, he goes straight to Verity's room.
Loen's
watching on the baby monitor.
That's right.
She's watching him go like, Verity, what the fuck? I know you're faking it. If you don't get up right now, I'm calling the police. And then Verity goes,
she blinks and goes, okay, Jeremy. And he goes, What the fuck?
Could you imagine? Oh my God.
Could you imagine your husband or whatever, your spouse,
oh God,
laying there and you think that they are in a vegetative state and you're going, you're faking it. Wake up. And then they wake up and they go, yeah, okay.
The willpower to fake something like that.
To fake everybody. Your doctors, the
nurses. I mean, you have to be a psychopath to do that.
You have to be.
Do a little bit.
Well, and I think at one point throughout the book too, Loen like tries to make her flinch.
Yeah, she throws like an apple at her.
Yeah, and she doesn't. And so you just... it's apple. Something is wrong with this lady. And so you're just like, okay.
Well, while she's reading the manuscript, she looks up what like the definition of a psychopath is.
Yeah.
And it fits Verity's description to a mm-hmm. T, except the fact that she's able to keep a steady love relationship. But the only way she's able to do that is by lying and manipulating Jeremy the mm-hmm. entire time, making him see that she is the perfect wife.
Yeah.
Which she's not at all.
Clearly. So she wakes up. Her and Jeremy are arguing on this monitor, and the monitor, Loen is just watching it going, holy shit.
Yeah, and then Jeremy starts to like choke her out.
And
so that's when Loen runs in there and is like, Jeremy, they will know if you do this. You have to stop.
You have to
make it look like an accident.
Oh,
she just jumps on board with the murder because he's like, she killed my baby.
Yeah,
like,
and
what
goes,
am I going to do?
You have to make it look like an accident. Make it.
She just jumps on board. She's like, this bitch is so bad. We're just going to murder her.
Murder her.
Straight up.
She says, make her vomit. Cover her nose and her mouth until she stops breathing. It'll look like she aspirated in her sleep.
Literally.
Loen says that to Jeremy.
Literally like what she was doing to Harper as an infant.
Exactly. I'm sorry.
Karma's a bitch,
and
Verity.
They gave no, Verity had no time to react to anything. She just goes, sorry, Jeremy, don't do this. And then he kills her. So
you don't get to hear from Verity at all. Nope.
Other than that. And so you're just like, holy shit. They're standing there in the room with this dead girl now. And you're going, what just happened?
He's like, we're never going to speak of this again. Just go to bed in the morning.
In the morning,
we'll
she choked
up.
On her vomit. Yep. That's what we're going to tell the police. That's what happened. Done. And then the chapter goes the next chapter is seven months later.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, wait, 7 months? This is insane.
Yeah.
And so 7 months later,
Loen's pregnant. Yeah.
It starts off right away that the book deal's great. They loved the outline.
They had to like kind of spend some time apart because, you know, Jeremy had to mourn for his poor wife.
And that she's back in New York City and she's pregnant. 7 months pregnant. And you're just going, holy shit. I can't
They're selling the house. They're going to move in together.
They're going to North Carolina to just like a fresh start.
Right.
And they have to go to the
house. But first, they have to go back to the house.
They have to go back to the
house. Where it all happened.
To pack up some things. Not a whole bunch, but just pack up some things. And so they're there. And Verity's room obviously is cleaned out. And nothing's up there. And they're about to leave. They're going to get in the car to go. All their packing is done. And Crew goes, I have to go up to mommy's room.
I left some stuff in there.
And she
Loen's
goes,
like, I know there's nothing left in there. So what is he going to get? But he goes to get like pictures and stuff.
Comes out with pictures. And she's like, that's weird. And she goes into the room and there's a board kind of like messed up a little bit on the floorboard. And she goes, what? And she opens it up and there's the knife.
The knife that was missing.
That was missing. There is an envelope. I don't think there's anything else in there.
It's just the knife and the envelope.
The knife and the envelope. So
yeah, because Crew got the pictures.
Pictures.
Yeah.
So then there's the envelope and she opens it up and it's a handwritten letter.
To Jeremy.
And she starts to read it. And it's a few pages. Like it's a long little letter.
It's actually long. I forgot how long it was.
It's very long.
It basically describes.
It describes.
It's a twist.
So basically she says that she got the antagonistic point of view
from her publisher, right? Or
yeah.
Her agent?
Her new agent said that a good way to keep you, to get a better style of writing to help you throughout
Since
your
she
books,
writes from the villain's point of view is to write an autobiography of real events that
in
happened
your
in your life, but put a sinister
twist
on them.
And so she pinpoints the highlights of her life, which mm-hmm. are when her and Jeremy met,
mm-hmm.
the day she got pregnant and engaged,
mm-hmm.
and the day her daughters died.
Mm-hmm.
Those were very main events, and she does it from the antagonistic point of view, a very sinister way to look at it. And so
she even says that Jeremy was at this dinner when her publisher said this, yes. or agent. I can't remember who it
was. And she goes, you knew that I was doing this type of thing.
I wish you would have been paying attention.
Yeah.
And then she even goes as far as to like show how she wrote a paragraph that sounds nice. And then she wrote it from the antagonistic point of view. She's like, see how easy it is for a writer to do that.
And that writers can make up anything they want because that's a good writer.
I can't believe you took this seriously. She's saying that he found this before Loewen ever even showed it to her.
Yeah. Yeah. She says that. I wish you would have just talked to me about the manuscript when you found it the first time. And so Loewen is sitting up here reading it going, holy shit.
He already knows about the manuscript. He already
knew about it.
And you keep going, and then you find out that in this confessional envelope, Jeremy was the one who caused her accident.
So once he found the manuscript the first time, he confronted Verity and said, you killed our daughter. You're fucked up in the head. Basically, I'm going to kill you now.
Yep.
And said he choked her out. She passed out. And she wakes up and she is tied. Her hands and feet and her mouth are duct taped. And she's in the passenger seat of the car. And he basically drives into a tree and
somehow moves her.
Yeah, he moves her into the driver's seat, takes off the duct tape, everything, kind of frames it, and to make it look like she just drove herself into the tree and had a bad car accident, and he walked back to the house. And so he staged basically her death, but she didn't die. And so the whole time I think he's taking care of her to cover it up.
Oh, yeah.
He's making sure that
he feels bad.
I think half and half. I think he feels bad. So basically he covers it up by, I think he wants to, with her in the vegetative state, I think half and half. I think he feels bad that he made the car accident, whatever. But then he also is like, if she wakes up, I'm going to fucking kill her again.
Right. Like, well, he expected her to die and not be like, you know, in the vegetative state.
And so now still he's alive.
Like, yeah.
And so he's kind of stuck and he's like, okay, I'll take care of you.
Right.
But only to make sure that you really don't wake up again.
Right. And so Loewen doesn't know which version to believe this.
Yeah. Part. So she's so the end of the story, that letter, that handwritten letter, she's like sitting there going, oh my God. Oh my God. He already knew about this. He literally.
She thinks back to what he said. And all he said was, where did you find this? Not what is this? Like.
So you're just like, oh my God.
You're left thinking, like, what is the truth?
What is the truth? And so she rips up the letter because she doesn't want Jeremy to find out that maybe she was making all this up, that she's just such a good writer and that doesn't want his feelings.
He doesn't want him to feel guilty for murdering her.
And so she rips
over
up the letter
an accident
and throws it away, flushes it down the toilet and leaves. And they drive off to North Carolina.
And that's the end.
That's the end. And I love how she ended the book because she says, which truth was she manipulating?
Yeah. Which truth do you think she was manipulating?
I think she did it.
I think 100% that was her actual autobiography.
I think it was too. And I think she tried to cover her tracks.
I think so too. I think the letter. I also think that Jeremy might have staged her accident because I feel like he might have already knew about the manuscript. Like, yeah. I think that part was true.
100%. I think that's true. And I think that he definitely tried to kill her.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Because he's such a protective dad and he was just like, I found out that you were literally murdering my children.
Yeah. And that you're crazy.
Yeah.
And I really do. There's throughout the book, especially reading it for a second time, I think for listeners, if you only read this once, go back and reread it. There are so many pinpoints that it's really hard to fake.
Yeah.
Really hard.
I mean, like the way she just describes everything, like I get like, okay, maybe if it was a writing exercise, as she says, why are you going for the, I try to abort my babies and I try to kill my baby. Like that is so bad.
It's so dark.
Like, I mean, you can go dark, but that's dark. I can't imagine a real, true, loving mother ever doing that.
No. No.
I mean, like, I've never, those thoughts have never crossed my mind.
Absolutely not. No. So I 100%, when I got done with this, every time I ask somebody that question, do you think that's, you know, what happened? What do you think? I'm always like, she 100% did it.
I think she was a true psychopath.
Yeah, me too.
She was just obsessed with Jeremy, like, to the point where it was unhealthy, obviously.
Well, obviously, because even children got in the way of that. I'm sorry, but what?
Bad.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
So, okay, what would you rate this book?
I gave it a 7.5. It's pretty good.
Only a 7.5, though?
Yeah. I mean, it's not my favorite, but it's good. I'm just not a big, like, thriller suspense, because the only reason I gave it that was because of the trigger
parts of it.
That's why, I mean, it's a great story.
Yeah.
But those parts, I was just like,
ugh, it's too much.
It's a lot.
And I've known people that start this book and they can't get past that.
Yeah.
Like, they can't. And I go, but it's like, the ending's crazy. It's a good twist. And they go, no. Mm-mm. Like, I'm not going to read about a woman trying to abort their child.
Yeah. Because that's
trying to kill them.
Really hard to read. Really hard. I mean, like, I remember the first time I read it, I definitely put it down after that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break after that.
So it is hard. I gave it an 8.5 because.
Yeah. Oh, we're closer this time.
Yeah. I liked it because it kept you going. I couldn't put this book down. I was like, oh, this is crazy. And
it is good.
The whole thriller part of it, she's watching on the stairs.
I just really wanted to know if she was faking
it
or not. Yeah.
Me too. And so I think that's what just, it was a good book.
It was a good book. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So this question that we do, who would you kill off? I don't know.
I said
no one because.
I just looked at my notes.
I said no one because.
Everybody dies.
Everybody dies anyway.
The only person I would kill off is April. Because she's just a big UNT. That's literally what I wrote as my notes.
So yeah, April's the nurse that's kind of a bitch.
Okay, did you think April knew that Verity was faking it? Because she was like so on Verity's side this entire time. I thought April might have known a little bit.
I just think that she was such a good little patient and kind of did everything that April
maybe
wanted
to do.
I don't know.
I didn't think about April at all.
Yeah.
She really PO'd me off.
There's really no one to kill though through this book.
No,
you can't kill off Lowen or Jeremy because they're literally the main characters, and it wouldn't make sense. The book wouldn't make sense.
No, and I'm not killing off crew. No more children need to die in this book.
Absolutely not.
So, maybe the agent too. He wasn't the best. I mean, like, the random guy in the first sentence died. So
no, like, everybody's
a lot of death.
If you could rename it, I got two here. If I could rename
it. Let's hear yours because mine are really bad.
Well, mine aren't like the best. I think Verity is the best
name
for
it. It is the best, 100%.
But I got The Manuscript.
That's a good one.
So you could do that or Chronix. Because that's
Chronix. That would have been a good one. Because
That's what they say, that they are attracted to death through the whole thing. And they are. So I don't know. Chronix, I think, could work.
Yeah. I just put like psychopath mom. I'm really bad at naming stuff. So I was like, psychopath mom, bad writer. I don't know.
Yeah. Something along those lines.
Verity just is the best.
Well, who knows that name? Nobody. Verity.
I don't know, but it's really pretty. I like it.
It's pretty. It's creepy. I think it's got a creep vibe.
I mean, the whole cover is creepy. Yeah. And then you don't understand it until the end.
There's two children that are marked. They're like scribbled out because.
No, this is the net. This is the fishing net. Did you just get that?
Oh my God, y'all. For the people that are online or just listening to it, there's Verity across the cover and then two children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're covered in fishing
nets. It's a fishing net. It's the yellow fishing net that Harper was caught in the lake.
No, I did not put that together the whole time. That's a great cover.
Yep.
So we absolutely loved this book.
It's a good one.
It's a good Halloween book. So people that are listening to it on Halloween or reading it, whatever.
Yeah.
Have a great Halloween.
Yes. Happy Halloween. What are we doing next week? I forget. Yellowface?
Let me look at our...
Wrong place, wrong time. We're a little disorganized today.
Disheveled today.
Oh, man. It's just been a week.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. We got Yellowface.
Yellowface will be good.
Such a great book. So
yeah, we'll have a disclaimer as well. We don't know a whole lot about like the Asian community that goes along with that, but we both enjoyed the book, so we're excited to share it with you.
Yes.
And
if you could just go on and give us a little reading on Spotify.
Yep.
That would be wonderful. We are follow us.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We also have our videos if you want to check that out on YouTube, Rose and Reed's Podcast.
Yes. And also follow us on Instagram.
Yep. And TikTok. All the things.
All the things. So we will see you every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you guys again for joining Rose and Reed's Podcast. I'm Sophia.
I'm Haley.
See you next time.
Bye.